From the home base in Brookfield, Wisconsin, welcome to the latest episode of Inside Connect and Simplify. I'm Stephanie Paulson, Manager of Digital Marketing. I joined the benefit companies in 2017, and I shape the words, phrases, and images that represent the benefit companies.
And I'm Roger Furstenow, HCM consultant, subject matter expert in personal and business insurance, member of the marketing team, and networking nerd. I joined the benefit companies in 2016. Thanks for listening. One of our companies, Benetrack, Inc., is a retirement plan consultant and third-party administrator. Benetrack helps employers of all sizes design and administer their retirement plans. Benetrack's goal is to help employees through their company-sponsored retirement reach retirement readiness.
Benetrack has a long-term relationship with Voya Financial and acts as the record keeper for its 401k plans. Joining us today from Voya is Nate Black, subject matter expert and HSAs. Hi, Nate. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Stephanie and Roger.
All right. So, Nate, could you please describe the partnership that we have between Benetrack and Voya?
Absolutely. So, Voya and Benetrack have a long-standing partnership dating back more than 30 years, really focused on record keeping and the 401k administration. Voya has been providing record-keeping services, and Benetrack has been partnering to deliver them through to clients over the last many years. What we've recently been discussing is, because of the importance of rising healthcare expenses and the impact those expenses are having on participants, is expanding that partnership to include health savings accounts. So that's really the impetus for the conversation today. But increasingly, we see participants struggling to manage those expenses, both as active employees and retirees. So Voya has launched an HSA product that integrates with the 401k administration system and brings those two pieces together for individuals to help manage them together and think about them more holistically.
So tell us about your background with Voya and how you became involved with HSAs.
Certainly. So I joined Voya a little bit more than 2 years ago to help build out the HSA product line. My background is really in new product development, particularly around healthcare and health benefits. And one of the things that I've seen over the course of my career is that people don't have a great understanding of how to choose their benefits, use their benefits, and then ultimately the impact that those choices have over their financial wellness and even retirement readiness. So HSAs are really an example of that in a nutshell, where people don't often understand the advantages of an HSA and may not be taking full advantage of that. So it's a passion of mine to help people understand how to use the account, how to understand its advantages, and how to think about that relative to some of the other options they may have. And it's really been a great opportunity the last couple of years with Voya. And today, our focus is on retirement planning and the role an HSA can play in that planning.
Okay, so Nate, please give us a definition then of an HSA.
Yeah, so a health savings account or HSA is just what it sounds like. It is an account where you can save money to cover healthcare expenses. There are some regulations around a health savings account to be aware of. In order to contribute to a health savings account, you need to be enrolled in something called a high deductible health plan, which also, just as the name described, it is a plan that has a high deductible. The purpose of an HSA really initially was that it would be an account where for people who have a higher deductible health plan, they can save pre-tax money that they can use to cover expenses that might come up because they have a higher deductible. And a lot of the thinking behind it is that higher deductible health plans tend to have a lower premium, meaning you're spending less on the health insurance if it has a higher deductible. So you could potentially take some of that savings and put it in an HSA or in another savings vehicle in order to improve your overall financial wellness. Now, HSAs are misunderstood for a number of different reasons, but mostly because they came along after something called a flexible spending account or an FSA. And an FSA is an account that operates a little bit differently. With an FSA, as an example, you lose your dollars at the end of the year and you can't invest, meaning you really can't save for the long term. But with an HSA, you can do all of those things. When you put money in, it rolls over year to year, the full amount, and you never lose it. Even if you leave your employer, that's your account, and you can use that money, and you can also invest that money with most administrators on the market. Once you hit a certain threshold, you can take advantage of markets throughout, really to help you drive greater balances in the HSA. Then you can use those funds all the way through your active employment, but also into retirement to help cover retiree expenses. And once you reach age 65, actually one of the questions sometimes I get is, what if I don't have that many medical expenses in retirement? And my answer is usually, first of all, that's not that likely to happen when you look at the data. But if that is the case, you can actually use your HSA dollars on non-medical expenses without a penalty. So it's got a lot of advantages from an account perspective and a lot of reasons why people may want to think about using the HSA.
All right. So to summarize, though, what is the goal of an HSA?
Yeah, so the goal of an HSA is really to help people manage their healthcare expenses more effectively, whether that's an expense they're going to incur this year or an expense that they're going to incur 40 years from now. The goal of an HSA is to make sure that people can manage those expenses and ultimately live the lifestyle that they want, whether they're an active employee or a retiree.
Okay. So what are the tax advantages of using a health savings account?
Yes, you'll hear people talk about HSAs being a triple tax advantage account. Well, I like to be a little bit provocative and actually call it a quadruple tax advantage account. Because when you contribute money into an HSA, it's actually pre-tax from an income tax perspective, and that's true at the federal level as well as most states, with New Jersey and California being the exceptions. And importantly, it's also free of FICA tax. And that impacts both employees and employers. And so your contribution, if done through a payroll deduction, is actually free of the Social Security and Medicare taxes, and that's a big benefit of HSAs. Dollars within HSAs, whether they're invested or not, are not taxed. And then when you take the money out and use the dollars for medical expenses, those funds are also not taxed. And interestingly, if you incur an expense today and you've got an HSA, but you don't pay for that medical expense today. As an example, let's say I spent $500 on a medical procedure out of pocket today. I can choose to take a distribution from my HSA in the future in the amount of $500 as a tax-free distribution, with the theory that I could have taken that distribution today, but I didn't. And so a lot of people sometimes save up a shoebox of receipts planning to take a big tax-free distribution in the future because they're paying for their expenses out of pocket.
Got it. So let's back up for a second and clarify, how is an HSA different from an FSA?
Yeah, so they're different probably in two or three main ways. And maybe the biggest difference is that the FSA is an account essentially that is employer-owned and employer-sponsored account. The HSA is an individual account. So your assets in that account are yours. You can take it with you when you change. And when you change jobs, your dollars roll over year to year. The HSA is really your bank account to use and do with as you see fit. Rolling over and employment changes have no impact on your ability to access that account. Within an HSA, you can also typically invest. So usually when you hit a certain threshold, you've got maybe an investment menu that looks a lot like a menu in a 401k or another qualified plan, where you've got different mutual funds to choose from, so you can invest in that account. And of course, because it's your account, dollars roll over. You can continue to use that account all the way to and through retirement, as we talked about with a couple of the prior questions for both medical and non-medical expenses.
Great. So, Nate, when did HSAs become widely available?
Well, they were legislated into existence really in the early 2000s, around 2003, 2004. And there was a modest uptake over the first few years. So certainly there was availability in the first few years, but not really broad interest or appetite, given that there hadn't really been a big shift to high deductible health plans. But over the course of the Great Recession in the late kind of 2000s, with the ACA, a lot of people thought that healthcare reform would actually doom HSAs and medium and higher deductible health plans. But we actually saw the reverse happen. In the early 2010s, there started to be an uptick in terms of high deductible health plan offers and HSA availability, to the point where today HSA assets are growing roughly 20% year over year for the last several years, and accounts are growing quickly as well. And there's certainly wide availability of both high deductible health plans and HSAs today. And there's a little bit of a dichotomy where we see larger employers tend to offer HSAs and higher deductible health plans more often than smaller employers. But we are seeing shifts where even smaller employers are increasingly adopting these types of plans, given the flexibility that they offer for their employees.
So what are the contribution limits for these plans?
Great question. So there are annual limits, and this year those limits are $3,600 for somebody who's on individual health coverage and $7,200 for somebody who's on a family contract. And then there's an additional $1,000 catch-up contribution for anyone who's age 55 or older. So the most somebody could contribute in 2021 would be $8,200 for a family where the main account holder is over age 55.
So how are HSAs used to pay your medical bills, and what's the tax impact if I pay those bills?
Yeah, so the dollars in your HSA can be used to pay those medical expenses. And often there's a debit card that comes with your HSA, and you can use that debit card. And if you swipe that card at the pharmacy or the doctor's office or the dentist's office, and you can use that to pay for expenses. And usually those dollars will come right out of your HSA to complete that payment. Or if you want to pay using your own personal credit card or other form of payment, a lot of times you can reimburse yourself from your HSA for that expense. One big difference, and I guess I didn't mention that with the HSA versus FSA comparison, is that with flexible spending accounts, you may have to submit a receipt in order to substantiate the expense. And so the receipt is going to be reviewed and the expense is approved before you can get reimbursement through the FSA. And HSA doesn't work that way. So you can attach a receipt or take a picture of your EOB if you want, but as an administrator, because it's an individual account, the individual is accountable to make sure they're using those dollars in the right way. So we don't have to review a receipt or go back through and examine what that was spent on. Those dollars are really the individual's to use, and again, tied to that debit card or another way to reimburse themselves. And in some cases, there's flexibility to use a check or an ATM withdrawal or things like that. The tax impact if you pay your bills, your medical bills, with this account is that there's no taxes on that distribution. This is tax-free money that you're taking out, so it won't show up anywhere on a tax return or tax statement as far as income that you need to pay tax on.
So then what are the penalties if I use the HSA dollars for non-medical expenses?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if you're before age 65, and let's say you take the money out and you use it on housing or travel or something non-medical, you pay your income tax and you also incur a 20% penalty. So you do want to avoid using those dollars before you reach age 65 on non-medical expenses. But once you reach age 65, a distribution from your HSA for non-medical purposes operates just like a distribution from a 401k or traditional IRA. And that's just taxed at your normal income tax rate. So you can take the money out. And I've actually had somebody ask me, can I use my HSA money to buy a boat? And the answer is yes, you can. You shouldn't do that before age 65. Otherwise, you'll pay the penalty and income tax. But after age 65, you just pay your income tax. The other advantage is that there's actually no required minimum distributions within your HSA. So it gives you some flexibility if you do have a balance in your HSA, taking that into retirement.
Great. So, Nate, if I'm already contributing to my 401k, is there an advantage of using an HSA for retirement?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we think an HSA is a nice complement to your retirement plan. I mean, certainly everyone's individual situation is unique, and what you're able to contribute is unique. But what I'd say is an HSA actually gives you a way to take tax-free distribution to cover medical expenses. And so it's the most tax-efficient way to save for medical expenses, whether you're paying for those as an active employee or a retiree. That said, you typically, if you're getting a match in your 401k or retirement plan, you typically want to make sure you can take advantage of that match. And then you can contribute to your HSA. And so it's a complement to the 401k. It certainly doesn't replace that in terms of a retirement vehicle. And we were told a fun fact. over 100 million employees contribute to 401k plans, while around 26 million contribute to HSAs. Of those 26 million, the average balance is around $3,000.
So, Nate, we've talked about advantages to the employee. What about advantages for an employer in offering an HSA to their employees?
Yeah, it's another great question. And so we think the plan, high deductible health plan paired with HSAs, are really oftentimes the right financial choice for employees to make. And we recently released a white paper on that, and we can share that with you all, that outlines the advantages and how people should be thinking about this decision. But for employers, by helping people think about how to manage their healthcare expenses in a meaningful way, it improves the financial wellness of their employees. There's all sorts of benefits with that in terms of being productive at work, present at work, and more effective overall at your job. And there also can be a bottom line impact for employers if you're driving increased HSA contributions from the FICA tax savings that we talked about a couple questions ago. So there's both kind of very direct value from having that HSA and some of those direct bottom line savings, and having it be more of the overall package and the indirect savings around driving an improvement in the overall financial wellness of the population. And it's really a compelling part of the benefit package as well to help it attract and retain talent.
Okay, so if an employer does offer an HSA, how can we help them improve their employee participation?
Yeah, that's another great question, and it's something that a lot of people struggle with. You know, there's a lot of bias against the high deductible health plan, which is usually where the problem starts. People don't like the high deductible health plan, and so they actually avoid the HSA. We actually did a survey where we put two health plans in front of employees, one high deductible health plan and one PPO. And we saw two-thirds of the people actually chose the PPO, even though we set up the plan such that it never made financial sense to take the PPO. No matter if you had $0 in medical expenses, $1,000 in medical expenses, or $100,000 in medical expenses, you never should have taken the PPO. And the research shows that there's a lot of little things that employers can do to help drive participation in a high deductible health plan, and it really starts with the name. When we changed the name away from high deductible health plan in the survey, we actually saw twice as many people enroll in that plan as we did before. It's got terrible branding, and so if we can just name it something a little bit different, that has a significant impact. There's also the impact of inertia. People tend to stay in the same plan year over year. And so if you can set up and enforce an active enrollment and drive people to choose between plans, oftentimes that yields better outcomes than just allowing people to default into what they had the prior year. And then lastly, making sure that people are aware and understand the kind of long-term view of their decisions. Often benefit decisions are really made with that 1 year in mind, but they really have multi-year impacts. And so the more we can frame up that multi-year impact and help people understand that with communications and decision support tools, the better off employees can be.
Nate, thanks. We've covered quite a bit. Is there anything we missed?
No, I think we hit on all the important points. HSAs, we feel, and I'm certainly a little bit biased on this, but we feel are an important part of a benefits package and really improve participant and employee outcomes when it comes to overall financial wellness. So I'm looking forward to working with many of you to help better educate, better understand, and better share the value of HSAs.
Nate, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you, Stephanie and Roger, and appreciate the time.
All right. So we will be posting the white paper that Nate has referenced and some more information on our website in the education resource section. And thanks for joining today.
Until next week, be well.
Find our podcast, Inside Connect and Simplify, in all of the following places, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Go to connectandsimplify.com/podcast to find our entire library of podcasts. Also find us on Alexa, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, Listen Notes, Google Podcasts, Pandora, and Podbean. Thanks for listening.